The exalted King of glory, the eternal rock of ages, the great I am that I am, bless his name. Worship and adore him. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be glorified. Bless him. Oh, worship and adore him. Bless him for your life. Bless him for your family. Bless him for the grace of God upon your life. Worship him. Adore his holy name. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of glory. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you, the faithful one. Thank you, the exalted King of glory. Thank you, the everlasting Father. Thank you, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Thank you, the creator of all things. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your deliverances. Thank you for the restoration. Thank you for the great things you have done in our lives. Father, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for this blessed month. Thank you for this blessed year. Oh, you're great, Father. You're great, King of glory. Worship and adore your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift up your two hands to the King of glory and say it louder than your friend around you. Say, Almighty Father, I celebrate you with jubilation for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your loving kindness. Go ahead and take a minute and bless him. Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift up your two hands again and say, Almighty Father, I want to thank you for the new things you're doing in my life. Thank you for the new things you're doing in my family. Thank you for the new things you're doing in my Christian life. Almighty Father, I am eternally grateful. Take a minute and bless him. Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, before you pray the last prayer you pray, lift up your two hands in this thanksgiving and say, Almighty Father, I thank you for the blessings you have released upon my life. Thank you for making me fruitful. Thank you for taking away failure from my life. I give you all the glory. Go ahead and bless him. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now lift up your two hands to heaven and pray this prayer. Say, Almighty God, for the remaining days of my life, make me an evidence of your glory. I will serve you for the remaining days of my life. I will be the best for you. Go ahead and pray.
Lord, I will live to honor you. Lord God Almighty, continue to make me and keep for me. Father God Almighty, of your glory upon the earth. King of glory, Magda Kaboroshe Terava. Lord, every aspect of my life will praise you. Every aspect of my life, Father, will exalt you. Every aspect of my life, Father, will magnify you. Father God Almighty, for all the days of my life, every day, every moment, every second, Lord, I'll be the best. Lord, the very best. Oh, God Almighty. Righteous God in heaven, I will honor you wherever I go, wherever I stand, wherever I live. Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, Lord, I will glorify you. Oh, King of glory, I will continue to celebrate you. I will continue to celebrate you. Thank you, Father God Almighty, because of the assurance of salvation that you have given unto me. Lord, I will guard it. Lord, I will be the defender of the gospel. Lord God Almighty, as long as I live, I will continue to honor you. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, I celebrate you with joy and gladness. Oh, thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your holy name.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now you pray this prayer and say, Father, I present every member of my family that are not saved, that this year they will surrender their lives to Jesus. Go ahead and pray this prayer.
My God and my Father, every member of my family, Lord God Almighty, that have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. King of glory, take over their life. Lord, rule in their life. Lord, reign in their life. Whatever God Almighty is reigning in their life, I command it to collapse. This is their year of appointment with destiny in Christ Jesus. Father God Almighty, take away every veil from their eyes. Take away, Father, every veil from their heart. My God and my Father, give them, O God Almighty, the conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my Lord and my God, I thank you because you would draw them unto Jesus. You would draw them unto the King of glory. Father God Almighty, whatever it is in the world that is attracting them, Father, they will lose desire for them. King of glory, cause them, O God Almighty, to bow to the King of glory. Bow to the King of glory. Bow to the Redeemer. Bow to the Messiah. Bow to the Savior. Bow, King of glory. Oh, my God and my Father, lighten up their light, lighten up their darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let your glory be revealed in their lives.
Thank you, Father, for the harvest. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If I have a place there, please, can you just bow down and worship the King of glory as we adore him? You are the mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the mighty God, you are the great I am. Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the mighty God, you are the great I am. Oh Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the mighty God, you are the great I am. Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
You are the mighty God, you are the great I am. Oh Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
You are the mighty God, you are the great I am. King of glory, we want to bless your name. You are the all-powerful God. You are the awesome God, the faithful God, the unchangeable changer, the mighty deliverer. Father, today we have come with thanksgiving in our hearts, celebrating your lordship, celebrating your awesomeness, celebrating your greatness, celebrating your healing power, celebrating your delivering power, celebrating your creative power, celebrating the breath of life. Father God Almighty, accept our thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the first day. We thank you for the second day. We thank you for the third day. We thank you for the fifth day. Father God Almighty, we thank you for the days ahead. Thank you, Father, because of the awesome presence of the Most High God. Our God and our Father, we ask this day that you will continue to glorify your name in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, continue to bless your children. Father, continue to guide your children. Father, continue to give them what they desire. Continue to honor your name in their lives. Forever and ever, their lips will continue to celebrate you. We bless you, and Father, we rejoice with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And let the people shout the loudest hallelujah to the King of glory. If somebody believes that you will sing a new song this year, every day of your life, let me hear you shout the loudest hallelujah. If any one of you here believes that God is already dealing with the foundation of poverty, and poverty will be forgotten forever, let me hear the loudest hallelujah. If some of you believe here that sinners in your family will be convicted and converted this year, let me hear the loudest hallelujah. The one who knows that this one is his own, and you believe that one of you will chase 1,000 and two of you will chase 10,000 this year, let me hear your loudest hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand. Give him praise. Give him glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Reach out to 3 people and tell them you will shout greater hallelujah this year. Yesterday I shared with us on Kill the Spirit of Ingratitude that one of the things that people will need to repent of is the attitude of ingratitude. And most of the times you realize that we concentrate on things that are less important and we leave the things that are most important in our lives. And I told us that what it does is that it kills the blessing, it dries up the rain of heaven, and it opens the gateway for the enemy to reign. I'm going to be sharing with us on finding contentment by killing comparison. Finding contentment by killing comparison. When you talk about comparison, it's not the first. Actually, it's not new. In the Bible, we have read it over and over. You see the case of Cain. He compared himself to Abel instead of him to allow the actions of Abel to God. The commitment, the love he had for God to challenge him to wake up. But rather he compared himself and then envy set in. And instead of him to make the adjustments to serve God better, to love God better, to improve in his walk with God, Cain became very envious. And you saw what that spirit of envy led him. He murdered. He's the first murderer in the Bible. And it was just this simple spirit of comparison. He compared himself and never allowed the commitment of his brother to challenge him to wake up. In the story of Jesus with his disciples in John chapter 21 and verse 23, John 21 verse 23, you also read the story there of Jesus' disciples. They struggle with that too. In one conversation, they were discussing with Jesus and they tried to determine which of them will suffer in the future and who will be speared. And in the course of that discussion, Jesus asked them a question and said, if I want this one to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? What is your business? You should concentrate on your own business than minding yourself with what does not concern you. And we saw that Jesus had to deal with this issue of comparison in the life of his disciples for them to concentrate on their major tasks and be challenged with the goal that he set before them. When we compare ourselves with others, one of the things is that we are not walking by faith. We are walking by the flesh. We are walking by carnality. And carnality does not lead you to life, it leads you to death. It is when you walk by faith that it leads you to life. And when you walk carnally, it means that you're not walking to please God, you're walking to please yourself. It means that you want to control your world by the standard of the world, not by the standard of God's word. You want to control your world in your own way, not the way of God. You want to have it your way, not the way of God. That's why people pick offenses with God and they commit suicide. Because they want it in their own way and not in God's own way. About 2,000 pastors and 1 million Americans last year committed suicide. And they committed suicide because of what? They didn't have what they want in their own way. They wanted it in their own way, which is very carnal. And not in God's way. I want you to understand that if you want to have things in your own way, it will always contradict God's way. And if you want to have things in God's way, it will always contradict the world's way. The way of the world will always contradict the way of God, and the way of God will always contradict the way of the world. The way the world thinks is different from the way the Word of God and God himself reason. And for you to be able to succeed and kill the spirit of comparison is for you to come up to the realm of thinking in God's realm. Thinking in the realm, what we call the fourth dimension of life. You thinking in the way God thinks, you reason in the way God reasons, you look at things the way God looks at things. When we compare ourselves with others, we are directly destroying our fate, directly destroying our destiny, because we are comparing ourselves with others. Underline the statement of what I said when I began talking, that if Cain had allowed the commitment of Abel, who is a righteous child of God, to challenge his fate, who is a believer in God, and God is pleased with him, and he saw that God was pleased with his brother, if he had allowed himself to be challenged so that he can do his best, so that he can make adjustments and changes in his life, Cain would have survived and become one of the great instruments that God would have used. Even when he committed the act, if he had a forgiven, if he had the heart of brokenness to know that he has done something wrong, and he apologized and seek for God's mercy, God would have forgiven him and continued the human race with him. But he was still comparing himself. Envy was still full in his heart. And that's why when God asked him about his brothers, he said, I do not know. I care less about my brother. I don't know what has happened to him. Why? Because of that envious spirit. Whenever you compare your family, compare yourself with other people, especially the ungodly, you are directly killing your faith. You are directly killing your faith. You are directly killing the joy of your family. You are directly killing the joy of your life and the call of God upon your life. There are many people who abandoned their mission post because they were comparing themselves with other people. There are many people that have left their assignment because they were comparing themselves. There are many people that have left their destinies because they were comparing themselves with the wrong people. Anytime you compare yourself with others on the wrong picture, the wrong patterns, you directly destroy your faith and you also destroy your future. And that's why the Bible says that many compare themselves with unbelievers. You hear people say, you know, this person doesn't even serve God. He's a juju worshiper. And see how he's prospering. See how things are working for him. Comparing yourself and not looking at what is the end of a sinner and what is the end of a righteous man. What is a sinner like in the eyes of God? And what is a righteous man like in the eyes of God? You don't look at that. You just look at the temporal thing and compare yourself. And that begins to affect your faith in God. That begins to affect your consecration. The devil begins to tell you all this, your Bible commitment, addiction, always in church, always going on the street and winning souls. Where is the evidence of them? And there are 1,000,000,001 evidences around you of the goodness and of the mercies of God. One of the things we read in the Psalms is the benefit God has given us is the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of our iniquity. But the sinner is a sinner. And when the sinner dies, he will never have eternal place in the sight of God. You can acquire everything in this life. The moment you go, you go. When I was discussing with my son, and God said he's going to give him a sign, I sat down and I told him bluntly, son, prepare your house and package yourself. Put yourself right because daddy said you are coming home. So there is no prayer and fasting that can change it. But then the glorious thing is that forever and ever you'll be celebrating with the saints in heaven. There are 1,000,001 people who desire to have your opportunity. They desire to know when their days will be over. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days and to apply our heart unto wisdom. How many people have that privilege? Many people are just taken by surprise. They are gone. But you, God prepared you. Put your ways right. Everything that needs to be put right was put right. The glory of it is eternity with God. No matter how rich a sinner is, the sinner will end up in hell. The sinner will never go with what he has. I saw last year in one of the dailies, a young man whose mother died, he decided to bury the mother with in a jeep. They dug the grave the size of a, it was the Hummer jeep. put the mother inside as the coffin to bury her. That Omar Jeep will rust. The mother's body will rust. But the soul, if it's not right with God, will live in eternal damnation. It's a benefit. And when you understand this, you appreciate God that your eternal life is secured with God. And you live a better life than the ordinary people on earth. The Bible says to us in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19, Proverbs 24 and verse 19, the Bible says, don't be anxious about those who practice evil. Don't be anxious. And that is one spirit you see in the younger preachers trying to build it into the lives of people. You see competition of Christians with unbelievers. God wants you to be above them. God wants you to be better than them. God wants you to live a brighter life than the ungodly person. The ungodly person should not be a model. The ungodly person should not be an example. The believer should be the example to the unbeliever. The Bible says, don't be anxious about those who practice evil, and don't be envious of the wicked. That's why God says, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. But say unto the wicked, it shall not be well with him. Finding contentment. When you have this spirit in the place where you walk, you will walk better. You put in your best, you will walk to produce, you walk to make sure that your walk is standing out for the glory and to the glory of God. And that's why Jesus said to us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See your good works. Put in your best in your relationship, in your house, in the place of your work. Wherever you find yourself, you don't live like the normal human being. You live as a child of God. The Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse 1 to 6. Psalm 1 and verse 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed. Cursed is anyone that walks in the counsel of the wicked. Curse. There is no beauty in the life of any wicked person. There is no glory. I've been privileged by the grace of God to traverse this world. I've transacted with the most powerful people on earth. But all the people that have no relationship and connection with Jesus are always very miserable. Always very, very miserable. Always finding the way they can get satisfaction of life. Some of them that had the privilege of discussing with me, you realize that they will ask me, what is the secret of your life? I just want this way of your life. I have all the money, I have all of these things, but your life is a billion times better than mine. And I lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. I told the story here some time ago, many times, some of you may remember. I was in the aircraft that crashed later on with this lady, Odukoya. I was in that aircraft. We were flying to Enugu. And in the business class, I had some billionaires. They were sitting behind me. And I had one of the major traditional rulers of Enugu. He was sitting right beside me in that aircraft. As the plane taxied and took off, I had just worshipped the Lord and celebrated him. As we got into the air, within the Abuja area, the plane started having developing problems. And so the aircraft was going up and coming down and going up and coming down. And then the traditional ruler that was sitting beside me started screaming, Ewo! Ewo! Anytime you hear an Igbo man say, Ewo! It's a serious matter. Ewo! Ewo! I told Namani, I told Chiremeke, Chiremeke, I told him I don't want to enter aircraft. I wanted to come by road, but he said, now, you must come to Enugu. So, while that was going on, I relaxed a little bit. He fell down, he held my leg, he looked into my eye. Finally, midway, the aircraft stabilizes. And when it stabilized, later on they started Say, okay, the captain has given us the go-ahead to serve the meal. So while they were serving us our meal, they served all of us the meal. These Babylonians, I wanted to talk with them about Jesus, but they refused. So I let them. So I was busy just enjoying myself with the word of God, praising God and magnifying him. They serve our meal. Immediately they serve our meal, the aircraft started again. And this time around, the aircraft would turn this way. So the captain said, we are having a crisis. Crisis, crisis, crisis. Oh, I started hearing the first Babylonian on my right. He started singing. Started worshiping Jesus. The second one, he became the chorus leader. The other one became the supporter. When people are in trouble, that's when they find Jesus. The Lord had answered by fire. He will be my God. So while they were singing, this chief, powerful first-class monarch, fell down. He was shouting, screaming. So I was busy eating my own food. He said, we are dying and you are eating. So I turned to him. I said, can I eat your own too? I finished my own. He said, eat. Are you a human being? So he caught my leg and I gave him a blow. I said, King, oh King, your majesty, the moment you enter aircraft, you have entered your coffin. He said, hey! While everybody was getting troubled, confused, praying their last prayer to meet God in heaven, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw angels holding the aircraft. And I was relaxed. They were troubled. Why was I relaxed? Because I have the Prince of Peace. Why was I relaxed? Because my life is not only here. I am only passing through. I don't see anybody who likes to stay in the land of a stranger for too long. He wants to go back home. So when finally the aircraft stabilizes, the monarch asks me, I say, please, are you a human being? I said, no, I'm a spirit. He said, So that opened up the chapter again for me to talk about Jesus. Before I could finish talking, he said, I surrender. I want this Jesus in my life. And I'm glad today he is one of the born again traditional rulers. Now, what I'm saying here is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. There is nothing for you to choose the way of sinners and think that is good life. Not at all. Drinking alcohol, chasing women, smoking, all of those things are frustrations. There is nothing good like a good life. Sound, pure life. A life where your heart is clean and pure. Nothing in this life is disturbing you. Your heart is filled with the joy and the glory of the Almighty God. Blessed is the man that stands not in the way of sinners, nor seat in the seat of the scoffers. You know, it's amazing to see that in these days, you see people, they call themselves comedians, coming and they will be scoffing, they will be slighting, they will use even Jesus to do their comedy. And Christians would sit down and be laughing. You are mocking the King of Glory. Because of money. They would never try to do one small thing about Muhammad. Only Jesus. If the Muslim could respect his prophet that is in hell, and I'm saying it publicly, Muhammad is not in heaven. If they could respect him that way, that you cannot even draw him. If you make a cartoon of him, a whole nation can go ablaze. It happened in this world. It happened in Nigeria. Kano was set on fire. Several states in Nigeria, people were killed because of what happened in Europe. Somebody who drew a cartoon. They killed the newspaper person. They killed the editor. They bombed the place. That story, no government has taken it up. They have buried it. Why? Somebody made a cartoon of Muhammad with a bomb on his head. And then people would be making jest, mockery of Christianity on your pulpit. You say they are making us to laugh. Laughter will give us long life. Nonsense. There are better things that will make me laugh in God. And not coffers. People that make mockery of Jesus. Now look at it. The Bible says, these people, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When the word of God truly becomes a practical word in your life, you see, people only study the word of God when they want to preach or they want to quote certain things, but not hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, to practice it. They meditate upon the word of God day and night. Some of my sons and daughters that have traveled with me, they'll tell you, sometimes I can be in my hotel room for the whole period I'm there. The television that is there, I don't even know that is existing. You find me most of my time burying myself in the word of God. I'm reading books that will build my faith, build my work with God. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm thinking on the word of God. I'm memorizing the word of God. I am meditating on the word of God. Because what you meditate on, you will become. The devil wants to make you always to be meditating on things that are insignificant, things that are less important. And that's why you lose, and that's why you fail. I want to think like God. And the only way I can think like God is to study his word. Whatever will make you not to be a doer of God's word, may the Lord deliver you from it. You see, the problem you have with a lot of majority of people is that they hear the word of God. Like my father will, in the Lord will say, they hear, but they have not hearkened. There is difference between hearing and hearkening. Just like when you turn to your neighbor now, you said, what did he say? You will be so surprised to hear that you will think the person is even hearing what I've said. He has not heard. His mind is in one soup somewhere. That's why you see students fail their exams. They hear, but they have not hearkened. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, we love to quote the promises, but we don't quote what makes the promises work. And for you to be able to kill comparison is for you to allow the word of God to settle in your life. The word of God to settle in your soul. And then you know the goal that God has placed before you. I know the mandate God has given me. I know the message God has given me. I know the manner of life God has given me. I see the people I put in front of me as example. I pursue after them. I imitate after them. I challenge myself. When I sit around with my father in the Lord as my mentor, my leader, I challenge myself. This man is this age, he's fast like this, he prays this number of hours, he does this, he does that, this is the kind of life he lives. And so I adjust myself and discipline myself. But not to sit down and be comparing myself with nonsense. Put yourself in the things that will build your life. And that comes by meditation. The best way you can deal with ignorance is the depths of the knowledge you have. And knowledge comes by meditation. Somebody asks a question, why do you stay sometimes midnight? You are not asleep. I'm meditating. I wake up at midnight, just sit down, meditate about the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, the evaluation of God, judge myself, put myself on the seat before God and say, Father, help me. Because as I meditate on the word of God, the Bible says, but his delight
His delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. So when you see somebody's life bearing fruits, somebody's life increasing on every side, you check it, the life of a Christian like that, you would know that this person meditates in the covenant word of God. That's why I'm a word addict. Very, very addicted on the word of God. On my system, you see me in the aircraft when we are flying. You see me going on a long journey. I read. I carry books. I read. After I finish reading, I take a little nap. I put my earpiece. I listen to the messages I preach to you. Like yesterday, I listened to the message, Changing Your Destiny. And this was a message I shared with us in time with Jesus in 2010. I listened to the word over and over, and as the Lord was speaking, if thou can only do the things that the word of God says, your life will become like the tree planted by the streams of water that yield its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Many of you have been in this great ministry for almost 15, 18 years now. And I've been your shepherd by the grace of God. Some of you have been with me for nearly 30 years in this, my covenant work in the ministry. But you realize that every day, by the grace of God, I become fresher and stronger. Every day increasing in the glory of Christ. The demand today I cannot meet around the world. This year alone, I don't know how I'm going to handle the world, the global issues where my presence are required. The Bible says, and his leaves shall never wither. Prayer life increases every day. Your faith work increases every day. Your stand with Jesus and commitment increases every day. There is abundance of joy. I've gone through a million and one situations in this life that would have killed me. But none of those things have affected even a drop of my skin. Because there is a grace and a glory. And why? Because of my meditation in the covenant word of God. Doesn't matter what I face. Well, doesn't matter what situation. I look into the word of God. I look into the mind of God. This is the way my Father reasons about this matter. I handle it that way. And just give me a couple of minutes. I'll be through it. Planted by the streams of water, never withers. And in all that he does, he prospers. All he does. All he does. He prospers. We want the later part. We want this prosperity. We want this, our life that will be in season, that never dries. But we don't want to do the preceding one. What the word of God says in the later. That the man who is blessed is a man that works not in the counsel of the wicked. There is nothing, friends, for you to envy about the people that are in the world. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Their lives, the Bible described to us, and I've seen it, their life is like a chaff that the wind blows away. But the life of a believer in Christ that truly meditates, I'm not talking about Bible career. I'm not talking about people who pretend holiness, but holiness is not there. Because they don't do the word of God. Their hearts are filled with junks and wickedness. That's why things aren't. All around them, you see the enemy doing it and succeeding. Somebody who professes to be a child of God, yes, is a cheat. That's why people can preach and yet go and do some stupid stuff. No, I'm talking about the people. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not. The man who walks in the counsel of the Lord. Who walks according to what the word of God says. Friends, I have said this over and over. I've become so mad for God. People look at the way I live for God as very, very dogged. My commitment to God supersedes the Islamic way of living. And sometimes people try to say, are you living Islamic? I'm living above Islam. Because Islam has nowhere close to Christianity. When you talk about the commitment of the apostles, there is no Islamic person that has lived like them. Now, I live this dogged life in Jesus Christ because I am very passionate about the word of God. I have said this. If I have read, I don't need 2 verses. I don't need 3 verses in the Bible. The Bible says anybody who does not believe in Jesus Christ, cut the neck. I don't need Greek and Hebrew. If I read only 1 verse, Jesus said, cut. Today, I don't know the number of people I would have slaughtered. Because I just want to be a doer of every statement. And when you live like that for God, He takes you to greater heights. Takes you to greater level. That's why Jesus said, I'm not excited about the people who hear me. That's why their life is full of comparisons. Their life is full of jumps. He said, I'm excited about those who hear and they do what I say. So comparison, when you compare yourself with the ungodly. You see, many times people come sad in church or come sad in the presence of God in their house because they are comparing themselves to another unbeliever that is their neighbor. Comparing themselves with an armed robber. You don't know that that person is an armed robber. You don't know that that person is stealing from the church. You're comparing yourself. And then you compare yourself with a staff who is working in your office. You don't know that he's changing figures and getting extra money from stealing. You say, well, we're on the same level 7. And look at him. You don't know that his level 7 is a stolen money. And the punishment that will come on him later on, you will not like it. So why do you compare yourself? Put yourself with Christ. Look at yourself as a child of God, Christ that is there as your perfect model and example. And there are also believers that have walked in righteousness, in purity of life, in holiness. Put yourself and said, if this man can serve God in holiness and God can do what he has done in their life, he can do it in my life. But don't compare yourself with the ungodly. And then you begin to choke your spirit and your heart to stop yourself from living a thankful life. Comparison gets us into trouble for a few reasons. Let me give us these 7 reasons and then we begin to pray. What comparison does brings us into a lot of trouble. And that's why if you want to live a happy life, you want to live a fulfilling life, don't compare your family. Don't compare yourself with somebody somewhere. Appreciate God for where you are. Appreciate God where God has brought you to, where you are now. This is not your bus stop. You still have a journey to go. There's still hope for your future. I will only have a problem if you just settle down here and you're not advancing. God never made any one of us to be stagnated. God programmed our life for growth. God made us to grow. Grow in faith. Grow in the word of God. Grow in our commitment. Grow in the way we live our lives. And that's why Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I behaved like a child. But he said, now I put childishness away. I put on maturity. That's growth. He said, even though I have gotten to where I am 30 years later in ministry. He said, yet I have not attained. I'm pressing on towards the goal of what he said before me. That I may know him. That's the language of a believer that is questing and hungry after God. Jesus said, blessed is he that hunger after me, for they shall be filled. Hunger, thirsting after God. But not people who are building envy and all kinds of malice begins to settle in their lives. Their hearts are just filled with a lot of junk and ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. That's why they are handling things the way they are handling it. That's why they are looking at things the way they are looking at it. When you're ungrateful with what God, the small God, has given you, how can he give you much? Why God is speaking to us with the killing comparison is if we get it right as a nation, our country becomes better. A better people that will come into the presence of God in fasting and prayer, and they will see the result of God's blessing, of God's healing. Whatever it is, sickness never comes from God. Disease never comes from God. But whenever you see the enemy strike, it's because there is an opening. That's why the enemy strikes. Poverty never comes from God. God, that's why he never wants you to settle down in poverty. But do you know that the wealth of life comes when God blesses your bread and blesses your water? But if you have a contentious heart, ungrateful heart, instead of God blessing your bread and your water, you will get curses. And this curse will follow you and overtake you if you do not walk by the word of God. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 16. Do you see the curses that comes on? So comparison does a lot of destruction in the lives of people. I've met thousands of ministers when I'm counseling them. And very, very pitiable situation. Because they compare themselves and they lose their ministry. They lose the glory of God upon their lives. There are men you can imitate. There are men you can look as models. They live their life. God has blessed them spiritually, blessed them physically, blessed them maritally, blessed them socially, blessed them politically. God has given them the fame that others are doing all kinds of evil things to get the fame. If you can serve God without any human addition, serve him the way he wants it, he will give you all that you desire. God wants you to have the perfect peace. Peace of life. And there is nothing greater like peace. Peace is health. Peace of mind. Peace when you see fire burning, you can walk through the fire. And then you come out of the fire unhurt. You can walk through the storms of life and you come out of the storms of life unhurt. You can go through the tornadoes of life and every place is collapsing, but your own is standing because of the peace of heart, peace of life. And that's why Jesus said, my peace I give and I live with you, not as the world giveth. The world's peace, whatever the devil tries to give you, sorrow will always accompany it. But I give you blessing that there is no sorrow in it. Number one, let's look at some of the troubles that comparison brings us into. They make us ungrateful with what we have. Make us ungrateful with what we have. We love the grass that is outside than the grass that is within. Some of you, you don't know. You look at other homes and you think it's better than your own. You don't know that your own is a million times better. Just find yourself into that home and you will say, Lord, I thank you. When you begin to compare yourself, it makes you ungrateful with what God has given you. Ungrateful with where God has brought you to. Ungrateful with the dealings of God in your life. You look outside, look at other ministries, or look at other things, and then you begin to love them more than yours. Begin to look at other parents somewhere, and you appreciate them more than your parents that are working hard in building you. Working hard in showing you the way of the cross. Working hard in building a character in your life. You begin to look outside and you don't know that what is out there is deception. There is always a saying that what glitters is not gold. You should know that where God has brought you now, you need to be thankful, but comparison makes you to be ungrateful. It's just like your husband. Some of you here that are married to women, your husband is a drunkard. Yeah, he's a drunkard, I know. Drinking is bad. He's a bad husband by showing that model to his children. The father is supposed to live as a model of a man. His children will rise up and say, I have a father who is a perfect example of integrity. He's a perfect example of an insightful father. Perfect example of somebody that can give us direction. Perfect example of somebody that lives with God and walks with God. Perfect example of a man that is contented with life. Perfect example of somebody who is pursuing the goal of life and is doing it right. That's supposed to be the model of a father. Model of a husband. That it doesn't matter how many women around the world, you never get yourself attracted to falling into immorality with any of them. The model of security. That you can be the model of a father and a leader to your wife. That no matter what happens, you are a security. You are a good father leaving inheritance for your children. That they can see you as a model of Christ living on earth. There are certain things that they may not like in terms of your doggedness, your discipline, but they will appreciate it. They know one thing is that you're a very secured person. And so that's the kind of a life. It's not good for a man to be a drunkard. It's not good for a man to be chasing women. It's not good for a man not to provide for his children. Yeah, you may not have all the money in the world. Your children are not looking for you to provide just the world, but give them direction. My father didn't give us the millions in this world, but my father gave us integrity. My father taught us how to live as a man. My father showed us the life of contentment. My father never took from the office. He was contented while his colleagues were taken from the office as an officer. My father showed us. Sometimes when we were young, we saw him to be a very tough disciplinarian. Very tough man that is contented. And that's the kind of life he lived. But friends, what my father could not provide for us in terms of monetary terms, he gave us values. And today, we have seen the billions of naira in this life. Because he laid the foundation. My father never chased a strange woman. My father has never sat down in the barracks where officers would be befriending officers' wives. My father never did that. Even though he was not born again at that time, but he was morally sound. He was very religious. He was very committed. That's why if you look at my brothers and my family today, if they are Muslims, their Muslim is deep. If they are Christians, their Christianity is extra mile. Because we learn serving God, you have to do it extra. You have to do it with everything that is in you. My sister, a Muslim, she fasts. She does some crazy things. She can sit in her room, lock herself, and be reading the Quran 24 hours. You don't see her visiting friends as an officer, as a lawyer. No. Sometimes we even get irritated about that. But our parents, they live a life for us. That should be what a man should look like. But lady, in the midst of that, your husband is a drunkard. You sit down every day, you are carrying a lot of pains and grudges in your mind, comparing him with so many other men. Your husband is still blind. Why do you have to choke your mind, choke your heart? You are not happy. Your home is not happy. Your children are not happy. You are always irritated. You are always complaining. You are always shouting here and out there. And then you pray and you fast and God never gives you any result. Because you have the wrong attitude. Your reaction even towards the man is bad. It's leading the man the more to hell. You disrespect him. You talk anyhow to him. You abuse him. Because you're comparing. Remember that when you married the man, you married him a sinner. You now, you got born again. Wait for him and be patient. When God is done with him, he will get converted. My father didn't die and go to hell. My father, before he died, he gave his life to Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand. So no matter what it is, the persecution and all of that, the glorious thing is that my father died. My mother was able to witness the conversion of her husband, who is resting with God. And that's why she did not weep anymore. She celebrated that her husband is there and she will one day go and meet him there. Don't be ungrateful. The devil will try to put certain things. As a child, you look at other family, they are living in a mansion, and now your parents can only afford one bedroom. Don't compare yourself with the ones who are living in a mansion. What you need to do is to provoke yourself and work hard in life, grow as a disciplined child, build up yourself, because one day you're going to build more than a mansion. You know, in those days, We lived in the barracks, and the house we were living in was a room and a parlor. And of course, there is a large compound. My father's farm behind made another room right inside the house where we sit down, kitchen, everything. My brothers, when they come around, they will also put wrapper and blanket, special blanket on the veranda. And they will come with their friends from school. There will be more than 10, 15. And they will just come. They will follow him, my brother Saidu. And they will just come like that. They will be sleeping. They don't want to go to their home. They want to do their holiday. Some of them, their parents are very rich. And they will come and stay there. And my mother will say, all of these people, where did you bring them from? They came with me from school. And they will all be received into the house. Sometimes we will be more than about 30 people in that house. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us living in one place. My mother used to cook her soup and put it under the bed. And me and my late elder brother will go sometimes and be touching the meat. But in the process of life, we never ended up in that one bedroom and a parlor. Life moved for us. My father retired, and then we built a house, that house, two bedroom and a big parlor. Life continued to increase. My mother was buying land. God was blessing, flourishing her, building land, all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, the same son of this man is having the tallest prayer tower in the whole world. So what is it? I prophesy over your life today, in the name that is above every name, every nature that have stagnated your destiny, I command that nature to be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. In the next few hours, as I begin to lay my hands to bless you, this blessing I am blessing on your life is the blessing that your future will be brighter. It's the blessing that your children will do much more better. I know, because I give you what is in my life. And the blessings of the Almighty God is on this palm. It's on this palm. That's why you see the biggest people in the world, they'll only look for the privilege of me laying these hands. But I don't lay them suddenly. If God has not instructed me, I will never do what I'm doing. Because as I'm laying the hand on you, the windows of my hands are opening. And they are entering into your body. Entering into the root of your future. That's why you see mothers will struggle with in the days of Jesus for him to put his hand on their children. Today, by the power of the Holy Ghost, any concrete in your life that will not allow God pass through, I command it to be broken into pieces in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, do you talk about this, my brothers? Everybody is blessed by God. This one that is used to come with his friends and all of that, sitting this thing, he's a great lecturer. He lives in his own. He's successful in life. The other one, very successful with 18 children. I don't envy him. But the one that was becoming a problem in the family was Alhaji Ibrahim. But my father loved him so much, and he looks like my mother. He loved him so much. He didn't follow our height. He followed mama's height. But you know, God in his power turned his life around. Became very successful. He's a very rich man. When I was in problem last year ending, I didn't have money. I needed to pay salary. He sent me 900,000 naira. He's a Muslim. He said, "We appreciate our brother. He loves his brethren like what?" But excuse me, this was somebody that if anybody tell you he will be good, is a lie. He is the only one who knows how to chase women. He got married at an age that is around at the age of 19 or so. Impregnated a lady that is senior to him. They used to call him Chisco. But now, he's Alhaji. He has his house, his children, very rich, successful. Why? The covenant of a good foundation. Today, whatever will make you to have long throat, I cut it off from your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, this time my brother will talk to me, we will sit down, you see, Kasa abunde Allah, albarkan da su iyaye mu suka bamu, baban mu da maman mu sun koya mana, kar mu nema kayakin da ba namu ba. Kodai. Kodai kam. Contentment opens a greater door for you. I'm hearing the Lord said to me, every evil root that has been following your life and your family, the Almighty God is uprooting them right now. You this person that people say, you the son of that person that people say nothing will happen. I'm telling you, you'll go back to that village, you'll be the one that will build the biggest church. You'll be the one that will build the biggest house. Mark what I'm saying. Some of you, your children will be the first people with doctorate degree. Thank you, Father. Number two, quickly. It makes us to worry and complain about our lives, about our work. Comparison, lack of contentment makes us to worry, complain. So our mouths are always full of complaint. And of course, you have seen the result when you're a complainer, what happens to you. And that's why I'm eternally grateful to God that some of us, the demon of complaint has been buried forever. Sometimes, in the past, when you didn't know this truth, you thought complaining was trying to express your feeling. But it was not. You were destroying yourself. You know, when you worry, I've told us this several times. God showed me this in a vision one time. That's over 20-something years ago. He said to me, anytime my children are worrying, they are sucking me from their lives. Immediately they start worrying, I will leave. I was, okay, you want to handle it by yourself? Handle it. I'm gone. And it is the spirit of comparison. That is what it develops in us. Complaining. We complain about the work. That's why I said to us here, somebody provide jobs for 5 people. Instead of you to be thankful, instead of you to be grateful, instead of you to be appreciative, you're always complaining. How much salary? How much are they paying me? Every day, look at the kind of work. Complaining and complaining, and you're killing that work. Killing that business. Let me share this story with us. I read it. About a man, I think it was on a Punch newspaper, the man gave his story. Every time his master is driving out, he's a big man, very, very rich. Very, very rich. When the master is driving out, this security man and the cleaner in the house will wave and greet the master. The master will not answer. He'll drive out. And then the master will come back. He will wave and greet him. The master will not answer. They will drive him in. But then, every day, there is a dustbin area. The master, in the middle of the night, will always package food and some little things that he will need to eat and his family, and he will put it around that dustbin, and he will be gone. So in the morning when he comes around, he will see this thing. Who is the person keep this thing? He will carry, send to his family. He has been living like that for a number of years. So, the master died. Didn't see the food again. Didn't know what is happening. So he went inside and said, my master is no more alive. What happened? She said, well, your master was sleeping, and then from there, he just went. So the man cried and cried and then left. Few weeks later, he came back to the madam and said, madam, The problem I'm going through in my house, I cannot be able to bear it. I want a raise, increase my salary. The woman said, increase your salary? Where will I get the money to increase your salary? Okay, that's fine. So, say, why do you want me to increase your salary? So he began to tell her. He said, you see, when your husband was alive, there was something strange that used to happen by the gate. I don't know. We used to get some food from there. And I used to send to my family. We were living on it. But since your husband died, that thing doesn't happen again. Oh, the woman screamed. She said, ah, so you are one of those people. My husband will always go to the kitchen and package food for 7 people. I have seen the 6. I have been looking for the 7th. So you are the 7th person. Ah, the man said, what? You mean what was happening to me was your husband? The man said, I'm very sorry for my ungratefulness. Please don't increase my salary again. So, the man, one day, the son was doing the same thing his father was doing. So the son would drive, he would go to their house, drop food, and when they are greeting the son doesn't answer. You go. Comes the same thing like the father. So one day this man decided to scream and shouted, I'm greeting you! You don't answer like your father, I'm greeting you! So the young man said, excuse me, I have ear problem. I don't want noise. And he drove off. So this man later followed and came and said, Oga, what did you tell me? He said, the reason why I don't answer is there is a problem with my ear. And my father had the same problem. So he said, oh my God. So all this while I didn't know the true picture and I was having a wrong mindset. Your father was deaf. So when I was greeting him, he wasn't hearing. And he was judging on the situation he was seeing. My prayer for some of you here, you don't know that the people you see doing things have their own challenges, but you are judging it with a different perspective. And instead of you getting the right understanding, you don't have the right understanding, and these people are making provision for you. Today I pray that every spirit of ungratefulness with the wrong picture, I ask God to remove them from your life in the mighty name of Jesus. From that day, he realized that the son of this man and the father, they all have hearing problem. The son can only hear little, but the father was totally deaf. But yet, it was the man who was keeping the food outside for the feeding of his family. When you worry and complain, you shut your heavens. You close the favor of God upon your life. Number 3, it makes us feel worse than the person we are comparing ourselves to. That is the thing that makes us to have low self-esteem. That keeps our focus on ourselves. You see some people, they are dressing because of low self-esteem. Okay, they go and paint themselves, do certain things because of low self-esteem. I don't know if my husband doesn't like the way I am, so they try to go and build their self-esteem. There are people that you realize that because of the way they are comparing themselves, they feel worse. I told you this when I went to preach in London. That was my early stage going to London. And I was among the only black man from Africa to preach in Benny Hinn's meeting in London. And you know the way whites treat the blacks then. They treat us. They will make you feel bad about your skin. So, I can see the reason why some people want to make themselves white by force. I can see the reason why Michael Jackson has to make himself like a chimpanzee at the end of the day. God made him so handsome. Low self-esteem. Comparing. So I was, thank God, God has given me that grace to conquer this spirit. But many preachers have lost it because of this comparison thing. So I was sitting down, they treated me, They were treating me low from Africa. And where? Nigeria? Yeah. So finally I heard the voice of my father. Don't worry. They are treating you like this. Let them hide over the microphone. They will know whether you're a white man or you're a black man. Just be praising me and be praying for them. So they gave them hour. Me, they gave me just around 10 or 15 minutes. So I came on stage. They preached. They did all they could do as white guys. So when I came on stage, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came on me and I lifted up a worship. The presence of God came down in less than 10 minutes. And there were people that were sitting in the wheelchair. They started jumping out of the wheelchair. Oh, everybody, everywhere just went aglow. Bow, yow. So instead of my 10 minutes or 15 minutes, they extended it to an hour. And then from there, I started seeing white people lining up for me to lay hands. Powerful preachers. As I was laying my hands, they were falling under the anointing. When I lay my hand on almost the last person, that was when I realized that, Kai, Gaskiafa, Asha, I'm black. But ladies and gentlemen, when you compare yourself, it makes you to lose your self-esteem. And the moment you begin to lose confidence in the ability of God in your life, you become a failure. Your performance begins to go down. Have you ever been to a quiz competition where somebody will challenge you? It's just like in boxing, when we used to do boxing. The opponent will do certain things in order to reduce your esteem. And if you don't look above him, psychologically he will beat you down before he beats you physically. I used to tell you this story when we were young with my late elder brother. We used to fight, boxing, fight, hard, tough fight. Get to the field, do this fight. And my brother would just stand. He has such muscles. He will not join to fight on my behalf and help me. He just stand at distance. And shake him. But saying that's a big issue, but that big issue. So he will allow me to be beaten. This guy would beat me, punch me, beat me, hell. And I will go back home. If I go back home, my father will concuss me. Stop crying. Boy, like you beating you. So one day, I build up my muscle. Because anytime I'm seeing him coming this way, I will run the other way. I didn't know that I am more powerful than him. So one day he came out. Because he has defeated my strength, defeated my ability. I have low self-esteem about myself. And suddenly one day, he came challenging. So I started jumping. Started doing like this. Wallahi kagoda. Wallahi kagoda. Kagwada kagani. Abunda zema kayoko. To wallahi ya enka sesu yunguka. Kagwada. But in my heart, I was shaking. I said, Kagwada. Ladies and gentlemen, I was building my self-esteem. Building myself. So suddenly, he said, Ah! Isa? K? While he was coming, K? I was looking at the two legs. Okay? We're like a goda. Before he could know it, I went, pow! Pick the legs, lift it, boy! And then I sat on him, pressed the neck, and say, Keche baba, Keche yaya, Keche bozenta bakabakuma, bozenta bakabakuma. I will press him the more I say, Chai! And I don't know those of you. You know, in those days, if you have dealt with your opponent, is to look for the San Okashin Rago and put inside his mouth. And then tell him, Kache yaya, Kache nine babanka. Bazankaraba. I stood up and said, Kagoda kumakaganiza kasenche wa nidang elbubane. From that day, he never tried it again. You see,
The enemy have succeeded in putting us to compare ourselves with people that we are more valuable than, and we lose our value. As I lay my hands upon your life, every value you have lost in life, heaven will restore them back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You will defeat your enemies. You will be the best in your class. You will be the best in your college. You will be the best in your department. You will be the best in your ministry. Lift up your right hands louder than anyone. Say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Say it again louder than anyone. I can do all things through Christ. You have had my friends, some of them they confessed here to you in the ministry, the way they look at us in those days from the north. They made us to lose a lot of northern pastors. When they go to the south, they just see themselves like, they just made us to lose. So until one day the Lord came to me and said, son, if they don't want to show you, I will show you. One of the greatest revival that will take place will be led by the north. So the Lord began to talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. Huh? From that day, the story changed. Today, God has, by the grace of God, used me to take up the northern church to a new level. And that's why during the dedication of the temple, all of them, you have seen Baba, Adeboye, Ayo, everyone was here. Why? Because the value of the northern church has changed. I pray in your time, the world will come after you. People will change the value they have about your life and family. Destroy comparison. Kill it. Be contented with where you are. This is not your bus stop. You still have a journey. People who see you today, they are only seeing what you are now, but they don't have a picture of what you will be tomorrow. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. The eyes of men have not beheld what God is about to do. I tell you, even you don't have the full picture of what God is about to do with you. I say unto you today, lady, stop trying to make up yourself. Appreciate God for what you are. Thank God for what you are. That's why some of you that are listening, young girls, young boys, you don't have to go and wear some trouser and your leg. You know, God made it so beautiful. You're wearing one trouser that is making your leg to. You don't need to. You're beautiful. Do you know a young girl just destroyed her skin with bleaching? I look at her and I said, did you know what you did? Do you know how beautiful the dark skin is? White people are looking for dark skin. Dark skin are looking for white people. Me, I don't look for it because white skin are finished product. Dark skin, they are raw material. So anytime God wants to look for something to use, he doesn't use finished product. He uses raw material. That's why today all over the world, as I travel among Americans, I sit in the first class, only the only black man. I don't feel inferior. I feel I'm the son of the King of Glory. And you see the whites bowing down, the whites reverencing the grace of God upon my life, because I have known and discovered my place. And this is not the end. I am only in class 2. I have not gotten to my tertiary level yet. Ladies and gentlemen, you are just in your nursery. People have not seen your primary level. People have not seen your secondary level. People have not seen your tertiary level. Therefore, I prophesy over your life, every wrong perception in your mind that has made you to lose your self-esteem, I command you to regain it in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands to God. Raise your hands to heaven. Lift up your two hands. Thank you, Holy Father. Oh, glory be to your name. I am grateful, oh Lord. I am grateful, oh Lord, for all you have done for me. Sing it one more time. I am grateful, Lord.
I am grateful, oh Lord.
I am grateful, Lord.
I am grateful, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
For all you have done for me.
Hallelujah.
I am grateful, oh Lord.
That's why all of my children, my leaders, they can tell you, I'm not soft on them because I believe that there are potentials in them that the world has not seen. I always want to pressure their lives to come out. To play better than anybody they can think about in this world. To do what nobody has ever done. Because there are great potentials. Imitate the right people. When you compare yourself, you know what it does. It makes you to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm better off than that person, and it makes you to settle down. You slow down in your consecration, slow down in your commitment, slow down in pursuing greater things because you compare yourself and say, I'm better than that person. You slow down. And then pride begins to set in for your downfall. But if your face is set, you want to be the best. Like we read in the book of Galatians yesterday, your very best. You see, my best today is not my best tomorrow. That's why when I hear some of my sons say to me, we want to catch up with you, I say, hey, the day you will catch up with me is when I have gone to heaven. But while I am here, while you are running to catch up with me, I am also running to catch up with greater. That's why those of you are expecting that these pastors will become like me, fool. You are missing it. My prayer is for them to become, but it's not possible. Because as they are running 200, me, I'm running 400. So as I reach 600, they will reach 400. Then they are pursuing to reach 600. Me, I will reach 1,000. So they will reach 800. While they are panting, they think, aye, I think we are arriving. I will reach 1,300. That's the way life should be. Going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Then at the end of the day, I will tell them, I have finished my work. Now I am waiting for the crown of glory. I can go home and rest. Lift up your two hands to God now. Every eye is closed, young and old. I'm going to give you only 2 minutes and I'll begin the blessing. You pray out. I want to hear only one person who has understood this word to pray. Say, Father, from today, I kill the spirit of comparison. I am grateful for what you have made me to be, for where you have brought me to. I am grateful. Take 1 minute and thank God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Raise your two hands to heaven. I, because of time, didn't tell you all that I needed to tell you on the trouble it brings. But one trouble it brings is to take away our purity. You see some people that are pursuing God with the fear of God. They look at those certain wicked people. They say, if these wicked people don't fear God, and yet things are doing working for them like this, me, I will slow down my own purity. People have told me this in time past. I've told you here. Bishops have told me, El Buba, stop preaching the way you're preaching. Your message is tough. Your message is hard. Stop it. You will never be rich. You will never have people. You will not have crowds around the world. I told them, thank you. You're fasting too much. You're praying too much. Did it too much. Slow down. Are you the only one? Are you the only one Jesus died for? You met us in Christianity. I say thank you. That's the way you hear me. I'll say thank you. I will leave you with yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, I was pressing on, climbing from glory to glory. All of these men came back to me and asked me the question again. What is the secret? Now they are asking me to be the one to show them the way. If I have listened to them before, I would have ended up worse than them. You're going to pray, lifting up your hands. You will pray this prayer. See it. Because that is what made you stubborn. You don't hear. You don't want to change because of certain comparison. Pray. Every wrong person, wrong influence in my life, I remove you now. I remove you now. I remove you. 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 You're an agent of the devil. Get out of my life. 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 Get out. Get out of my life. Lord God Almighty, I will keep to the old way. I will keep to the way of the cross. I will keep to the way of purity. I will keep to the way of holiness. I will keep to the way, Father God Almighty, of serving God. Jesus, Jesus, I know promotion does not come from the south. It does not come from the west. It does not come from the east. Promotion coming from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let me hear the loudest amen from one person. Finally, raise your two hands to heaven. Please pray this prayer. Oh, glory. Put those two hands on your head. What is it that made David to succeed? David was a grateful man. Very grateful. One man that has touched my life is David. Very grateful. Always very thankful. Even in the later part of his age, when he had the privilege of giving to God's work, gather materials, go and read it in Chronicles. He said, who am I? Who is my father's house that we should do this thing? Father, I was just a shepherd boy. You brought me up. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redeeming my soul. Ah, I love David. That's why David succeeded more than anyone. That's why David had no issue with Jonathan. No problem with Jonathan. No issue of competition. And no. Hiya. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to enjoy your life. This life is a transit. Live it well. Enjoy it. So that you pass through and go to heaven. Keep enjoying yourself in Christ. For the remaining days of your life this year, Satan will not succeed in cutting your legs off God. What God does not give you, no man can. No company, no devil can give you. So you're going to pray this last prayer. Much more than anybody standing here. Pray. Because as you're praying, I have spent all night crying and praying that, Lord, nobody will overtake me. Jesus said, the first will be the last will be. I told him, Lord, I will maintain my position. You're going to pray. Father, I will go higher. Lord, I will drive higher. Lord, I will press higher. Lord, I will serve you better. Go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now raise your two hands as I bless you. I decree today, in the name that is above every other name, I pray that from now, my God will settle you in peace. Peace in your spirit. Peace in your work. Peace in your home. Today, I bless you with physical companionship. I bless you with people that will make you to have the joy of life, to have the fulfillment of life. From today, I bless you with business companionship. I bless you with marital companionship. I bless you with ministerial companionship. I pray that God will give you companions that will make you fulfilled in this life in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever you go, I am blessing you with joyful people. I am blessing you with favored people. I am blessing you with blessed people. I pray that my Father will release into your life people that will strengthen your faith in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that my Father will release into your life people that will strengthen your spirit with joy in the mighty name of Jesus. If the enemy succeeded in polluting you, slowing you down, compromising you last year, this year the enemy will never succeed in your life. The grace of God in my life that has always made me an overcomer, that grace, I bless you with it in the mighty name of Jesus. When God will come to a point of calling you his friend, something has happened. From today, I bless you with the nature to make God your friend. You will not disappoint heaven. You will not disappoint your generation. You will not disappoint your family. Today, as you lay those hands on your head, you're laying it upon your generations. Whether you're married or you're not married, this blessing is coming on you. Therefore, today, I decree and declare blessings upon your life. I bless you. I bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you. 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 I bless you.
I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every poison of the enemy in your life, your dream, your destiny, your business, I command it to be neutralized in the mighty name of Jesus. That poison of the enemy that has always made your family crisis family. You're not happy in your house. From today, I command that poison to be neutralized in the mighty name of Jesus. I remove that evil character. That nature you inherited from your parents that is afflicting you, I remove it from your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you with the power to deliver. Wherever you go, wherever you walk, I give you the power to deliver. I bless you with the ability to deliver. I bless you with the ability for excellence. I bless you that you will fulfill your dream. You will deliver your dream. You will deliver your plans. You will deliver your purpose. You will deliver your vision. Every assignment they have given you to do in your office, like nobody else, you will deliver. Your generation will be like the generation of Joseph. You'll be like the generation of Esther. You'll be like the generation of Esther. You'll be like the generation of Esther. You'll be like the generation of Deborah. In your career, you will stand out. As a wife, your life will be like Sarah. As a husband, your life will be like Abraham. As a son, your life will be like Isaac. As a daughter, your life will be like Rebecca. You will possess the gates of your enemies. You will possess the gates of your enemies. I pray this day that wherever you go, you will enjoy the increase of life. You will enjoy constant multiplication. Thanksgiving will never cease in your mouth. As we advance for the remaining 10 days, I pray for every one of you, you and your family. Oh God, that whatever my Father has no schedule for you, that the wicked one have scheduled, I command the wicked plot of the enemy to be destroyed by fire in the mighty name of Jesus.